This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV and our coverage of Netflix's Yu Yu Hakusho. And that's the first time I didn't fuck up and almost say Jujutsu Kaisen, but I'm going to bring Jujutsu Kaisen up because if you're watching our Jujutsu Kaisen episode as well, if you're double trouble following us for all the anime coverage, you'll notice, yes, this is the same outfit from the Jujutsu Kaisen coverage. So we're just pumping these episodes out before the holidays because we like the shows and we like you guys. So this is episode 3 of Yu Yu Hakusho. And again, there's no episode titles, so we're just going to kind of get right into it. This episode kind of breaks itself nicely into 3 parts. We have pre-training, we have the training arc, and then we have kind of the fallout post-training arc. So we're going to take it in those little blocks, which makes it easier for us, and hopefully the conversation flows nice and easy. So pre-training, we have 2 scenes. The first scene is going to be Yusuke on his little mission to infiltrate the mansion. This is to just receive the conjuring blade for Koenma from Hiei, and that obviously does not go very well.
Do they immediately talk about the power of the knife at the beginning of the episode? Mm-hmm. Or is that a little bit later? Okay, so I guess the power of the knife was it is able to grant you whatever power you want. Is that what it's saying? And the power that Hiei has is called what again? What? Not third eye. It's
called the Jangan Eye.
Jangan Eye. Okay. Yeah. So still, I guess, some questions that we were having from the last episode about that, just in terms of, you know, was the eye always there and did he slice it open, or was the eye never there and did him cutting himself with the knife open it? Not really too much explained about it, but it was cool getting the powers of the knife right away.
I was like, oh, okay, the knife gave him the power. That's what I thought.
Gave him the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
that's supposed to be how you interpret it. In the source material, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's like surgically implanted, something like he chooses to do and has like a, I guess, an operation almost. So I saw some people online like upset, like they changed how he got his power, but I don't know. I don't think they have time to explain a surgery. I think
it, no.
Also called it that's a cis, just whatever.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. But the
fight I'm also thinking Mullet Man is Yusuke's father.
Related to him?
I'm thinking about the same thing. I thought the same thing.
I'm putting it on the board right now. Since you got that one, I'm getting this one.
Fuck.
We'll see though.
Fucker.
We'll see. I don't think it's too... It's just because every time Yusuke's been mentioned around him, he has like some weird look. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Sorry, Kyle, but I just wanted to put that theory on the board before we get too into things.
I definitely think there's some kind of like familial connection to him and somebody in the story, like somehow. Yeah, but it's got to be Yusuke.
I never even thought about it because, you know, obviously we only had ever seen the mother, never the father, never.
And like, why is he so adept to like the spirit energy and blah, blah, blah? And our old detective. Something happened to the old detective, right? And they need a new one.
True.
Yeah.
These are all mysteries.
And plus, Hiei was like, I know who sent you. I thought that was interesting. I mean, that doesn't confirm it has nothing to do with Mullet Man, but.
Yeah.
Okay. Kyle, take us away, buddy.
You're good, though. Just more mysteries. Although the one thing that we know for certain is that Hiei is quite fast and he's much stronger than Yusuke is at this point. It's kind of just the theme of the fight, essentially, is that he is much too fast for him, defeats him pretty soundly and easily. He doesn't even need to draw the blade, which for Yusuke seems like there's quite a bunch of shame involved in that. So we conveniently, after this, kind of the next scene is going to be our fat, rotund businessman, Terukane, is flown to Mullet Man's island and kind of for safety and to be shown who his new bodyguards are going to be. So in these scenes, we get a fight, well, I guess a punch, an escape attempt. And then we get some new faces as well. So there's some funny parts here. There's some interesting parts here. I thought a lot was going on here. So I'm just kind of curious of what your thoughts are on most of these things.
Toguro was Toguro, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I thought he was really cool. I mean, his power seems to be kind of body enhancement. We'll see a little bit more into it, but he definitely put on quite a performance for whatever the fat guy's name is.
Sakyo is Mullet Man.
Yeah. Terukane is
Terukane, right?
Yeah. Is our rotund.
That was a great display of power. I feel like this episode, we got introduced to a lot of characters that are going to be new and potential like strong boys going forward. So this was a good display. I think Togro has definitely caught my eye of all the people that we've been introduced to these episodes, just because it seems like he is the peak of yokai strength almost, because he's been around for 100 plus years and is still looking for that one person to fight. Seems like he's given up on that because he's willing to kind of go back home since there's no one, quote unquote, good left to fight. So
why are you saying he's been around for 100 plus years? Did he say that? Am I missing that?
I feel like it say it was like 150 years? Am I pulling that out of my ass?
I think you're thinking of JJK.
JJK. But there's also, yeah, I think the exact number for sure, but they do imply he's quite old later on when Genkai's like looking at the dojo kind of class picture. Yes. That's at least how I took it.
Yes.
Type of deal there.
He's at least as old as Genkai. That's how I think.
Yeah. And he obviously does not look it.
Right.
Yeah. So we also, I mean, we see his brother, the little guy. We see his power as well, because we have the Korome being escaped by that goon that they, you know, made obvious last episode that he was going to try to get her out. His power seems almost limitless. He can just kind of morph and manipulate his body at will. So he just kind of takes that guy out. That guy was a good shot, though, which I thought was funny. At least he had, like, we could put a little bit of respect on his name before he just quickly gets wiped off the face of the earth and we
super
don't think about him again. Yeah.
Good for him.
The OG Mahito.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, his powers are very similar to me.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually a good point.
But it seems like he has the power of like camouflage, body morphing. I mean, I honestly did not expect this goon to go down as quickly as he did. I thought there was actually going to be some level of like escape
or like story, right?
Yeah, and I guess the hints should have been that we were never told his name. That's, I feel like, usually a good sign that it's just fodder. That's a
fantastic point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I was surprised. I honestly was shocked when the guy, I kind of was hoping a little bit, not hoping a little bit more, but I guess dumbfounded that this guy ended up being nothing and the plan failed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Miserably. So what is Nichon's, what is her thing that they keep calling her?
Korome.
Yes. That's not her name, right? That's like her, that's what they're called. That's her, what she is.
A question I was having, because I feel like they were, unless I was reading it wrong, they kept kind of going back and forth between like the Korome and just like, let's move Korome. Mm-hmm.
I understood it as that's her, like, she's not a yokai, she's a Korome. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out if our Shinigami, what's her name?
Botan.
Botan. I'm sorry, guys. Botan. If Botan is that as well. Mm-hmm. But it's not clear, because she called herself a quote-unquote Grim Reaper, as the subtitles reveal to us, which I know to mean Shinigami. I'm curious to see what her story is. I mean, her ability to produce these tears is obviously very valuable to the humans in this story. Yep. The brother, the body manipulation guy, he's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and weird looking, how he's like miniature human. It's weird.
Yeah, it's funny. You'd think if he could control what he looks like, he's maybe actively choosing potentially to look like that, which is kind of funny to think about.
Catch people off guard, maybe.
I guess so, yeah. And then speaking of the Tears of Ice, the last little part here is essentially Mullet Man gives Tarakane, it seems like he's giving it to them at the very least, a bunch of Tears of Ice, and he gives them like a bodyguard squad, which is going to be the two brothers, the Tokuros, and we have some masked person, and then some person who's like a Reinhardt clone from Overwatch. He's just all in armor, has the huge like hammer axe thing that he has there. So obviously it feels like more to come with them, but
Axe Guy definitely was the one that I'm looking forward to most. His design just looks really cool, so of course I want to see him fight. But I still think Togro is probably the strongest out of everyone we've seen so far.
Probably.
If I had to guess.
The tears came from the altercation, right? Like, she cried because Super Simp died. That's what I thought.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That is interesting. There's definitely... That makes a lot of sense. How about that? It makes a lot of sense.
A plus, bro.
Yeah, the intuition on point as always. So now I think we can move into the training arc. So the training arc part of this episode kind of begins with Botan's telling Yusuke he's got to go train with this Master Genkai. This is a person who uses a spirit wave, and we kind of get Kuwabara is eavesdropping. He's obviously not going to let Yusuke train without him, so he wants to tag along. We get a little bit like a funny intro scene with Genkai, and then we just get right into the training. So Yusuke is training as he has to do a one-finger handstand on a spike, and Kuwabara is training as he has to break a boulder with wooden swords. There's a lot of good moments here. There's good conversations. There's good fights. So I think we can literally talk about everything we want to with them training and fighting. I think there's kind of a lot here.
Genkai is a boss. She's the epitome of the sensei everybody wants and needs, right? Mm-hmm. The training was cool. We got like a lot of a big time skip, which is interesting as well. I loved how Kuwabara, I'm pronouncing that right, correct?
No.
Kuwabara.
Kuwabara.
I've definitely mispronounced it too.
At least that's how I pronounce it.
I keep thinking it's K-U-R-A, not K-U.
Right, and that's what I got. That's why I just got thrown off. It's all good though. I wish, this is going to sound ignorant, I wish that there was an anime that their names were just like Mike, Joe, Dave.
Like, you can make it if you want.
I'm gonna, because I can't. The names don't stick to me sometimes. Kuwabara, I enjoyed his inclusion in this training. I'm glad that he eventually got to manifest spirit energy, which we all predicted would happen. And his training style was awesome. It's just like classic. He's like hard-headed dude, and here's a hard-headed task. You have to split this fucking boulder, and he did not give up one bit. I'm more proud of him than Yusuke, because Yusuke was a whiny little bitch, to be honest. But he came through when it counted. Although I have one little gripe, I feel like he didn't accomplish enough in his training for him to be be rewarded the way he was. Like she praised him after shitting on him for a month. She gave him the highest praises at the end. But she did leave him with some very valuable wisdom. Don't sell, like, people who sell something important to them to get stronger are weak. Have weak hearts and stuff. Like, I think that was a direct analogy to her former classmate, right? So, who I think it's fair to assume like he's the adversary, the strongest of the villains that he will eventually face. Mm-hmm. I liked the training montage. It is your prototypical anime style thing, and I think as a live action adaptation overall, they did a very good job. The Genkai's clash with Yusuke was great. She just worked him just based on experience and knowledge. And she was also impressed by him when he was able to replicate her move. I thought that was sweet. And it adds something to Yusuke that we know we obviously have seen through the use of his environment around him during the fights. He's like nifty and crafty, but that was a nice little detail as well.
She was a little niftier and craftier. She was hitting him with
the walnuts.
Yeah, she was fucking him up with them. Which was good.
I think Alki summed it up really well there. I mean, Kuwabara has immediately jumped, I think, to easily being my second favorite character. If he might, him and Yusuke are probably neck and neck. Like, I wouldn't choose one or the other
over
the other.
What are you? So Alki, you mentioned, and if you've been listening along for the first two episodes, you know that the two of them knew that this was kind of going to happen in terms with Kuwabara and his, you know, being able to manifest spirit energy. But thoughts about the fact that it's in the form of a sword? It feels very like prototypical sidekick type of guy, like the right hand man weapon. But I'm just curious of what you think about it.
I was kind of shocked actually that they went with the sword route. I mean, I fucking love swords, so I'm always going to vouch for swords over bare fist fighting. But I was definitely shocked. But I think Alki described it perfectly in the terms of just, you know, just he's a hard headed guy. So here's just a physical challenge for you. And Yusuke's was that was tough too, obviously.
His was more mental.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have to hold this for 12 hours.
If you had to choose one to do,
the
right
boulder.
Now,
I guess the right? boulder. Yeah.
Maybe
just not on a spike though. Not on a spike if it's Yusuke's. I'd still probably rather choose the boulder. Like,
I think the
training method fitted
the boulder.
Like, that's why Genkai, obviously, she's like a boss. She tailored the training to each of them perfectly, you know, because Yusuke's was so he can pinpoint the spirit energy, which he then was able to translate into a spirit gun. And Kawabura's was so he could manifest spirit energy in general. I fucking love the sword. I'm so pissed Yusuke doesn't have it. I wish Yusuke had it. Like, nah, bro, it is
just,
so bad.
Just popping off and then just beating people up with his hands, baby.
I just, you know, I just love swords over hands any day.
Oh, I'm a sword guy. Yeah. Me too. But, it reminded me of the Fire Force guy, Arthur, right?
Arthur, yeah.
Fucking dweeb.
That's a really cool weapon.
That is a really cool weapon.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, I like how Genkai. It's tough because you can't really, like, there's so much that went on that we didn't see. That's, I think, the one kind of drawback negative of the fact that it's only five episodes. I was curious. I was even going to ask you guys if it felt like quick / unearned almost. And Alki, you kind of voiced that opinion a little bit too. It did feel very like cut of like Yusuke kind of finally like is able to do it for 12 hours. Like Kuwabara gets his sword and then we're like, okay, here's, I'm entrusting you this like incredibly sensitive and like important object, like the spirit wave orb, like you have to hold it and protect it type of deal. I think they played it well in the sense that like she was sensing that it needed to end and like something was up type of deal. But I agree that it felt kind of like very short and like quick. But
it's not that I don't think he's worthy, you know, it just feels like she was not indicating she felt he was worthy of it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he got it. Like I felt she was singing Kawabura's praises, like, you know, very high. Yeah. So.
Well, she also maybe could was like planting. I feel like I took it when she like tells Botan like he's utterly hopeless. And like,
maybe her goal was always to give her this.
I thought maybe like she was like trying to motivate him, like the fact that he was like could hear it through the wall and like, yeah, was using it more like motivational. Because she says like you did it, like your competitive spirit at the end is kind of like what pushed you there. So I think maybe she was trying to motivate him that way.
You're probably right. I mean, you know, it's a hard-nosed, tough love attitude, and I don't necessarily like, I like that, but I was just surprised how the switch was flipped so quickly. But nonetheless, didn't take away from the story.
Yeah. So just important developments here is that, like I said, Yusuke now has this spirit wave orb, whatever that may be. We're not really sure yet at this point, inside of him that he's to protect. And his spirit energy itself has grown. So it seems like he now has access potentially to more spirit energy than he did in the past. He's also able to control it much better, which is kind of that final lesson with teaching him how to build it up and then focus it kind of like at the end of that garden hose, like she was saying, which creates that huge spirit gun that he shoots off, which is really cool. And that spirit gun catches the attention of Togoro, the younger Togoro, who's the bigger Togoro. And we saw, technically we skipped over the scene, but it was kind of hard to fit it in like a seamless way. So we see him like kind of in the sinkhole with Mullet Man being like, I got to get to the demon world because like there's no one left here for me to fight type of deal. So he, I think, senses this spirit gun, this huge one go off and is like, okay, bet, like, let's get it.
Got a reason to stay around.
Yeah, and then I think Genkai also realizes too, I think she says kind of after that, like, okay, they're coming. So she shuffles them out of there. The music send off was good.
Yeah, the music actually, I keep forgetting to mention it. The music has been really good. And even episode one, when I think it's like when Kuwabara is even introduced, or one of the, like the squad up moments, like there's like some like rap music in the background. Yeah. It's pretty hype.
The hip hop of this, when they show up for the first time, it's like 90s like Beastie Boys, like hip hop, which I thought was like a nice choice.
It's been hype. But Togoro. It's just the whole connection. Like, I think Alki, your prediction is kind of coming. I'm leaning more towards your side of that, you know, Sakio wants to have the demons invade. That's just, I think that wasn't 100% laid out in this episode, but basically almost confirmed that he is trying to breach the portal at the very least.
And he's literally using it as a power source too. Like he has the reactor or whatever that's there, but it can only open like a hole as big as a fist, right?
Yeah,
that's what the scientist said.
But I guess moolah.
My other thought would be: was Genkai then a yokai, or how is Togoro a yokai when maybe being a human in the past kind of thing? I guess questions about Togoro.
It's not entirely clear. Although we do know that they can use human disguises.
I don't think Togoro is a demon.
Interesting.
I think that he like sold his soul or something.
they did mention someone was selling their soul, and I don't know who they were referring to. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I don't even know if Hiei is a demon yet. I'm not 100% convinced of that. Though?
I don't think they're human.
I don't know, because, I mean, his sister is being called something as a third party like being. We don't even know. We've never heard of that. I don't know what that means. I'm not going to look up what it means, because then it's going to reveal it. So, you know?
When you say that he's not a yokai or demon, are you, you're not saying he's a human. You're saying he might be something else? Or are you saying that he's
maybe
human?
Like an angel?
I'm just more
using
curious.
Air quotes on that term.
I don't know. I actually don't know, Kyle.
Okay. Yeah.
His super speed leads me to believe
he's not human,
but I'm not sure he's a yokai.
Yeah. I'm with you that I don't think he is a yokai. I think he might be something different, but I personally think Togro is a yokai. But that's just
okay.
That's
well, just whatever.
Yeah. So we are not supposed to know, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, we're going to get clashes in the future. I mean, we know that there's literally been a fight and a good one in every episode. So looking forward to more of those, obviously. Last little scene in this training arc type kind of part of the episode, I guess, let's say. Just that Kurama Hiei interaction. We pretty much talked about it already, though. Kurama just kind of confirms that Hiei used the conjuring blade to open up the Jangan Eye, and then Kurama is trying to basically get him to give it back to Yusuke. So Kurama is vouching for Yusuke in this sense. He's like, hey, you used it. You got what you wanted out of it. Like, just give it to me so we can give it to the spirit detective. Hiei ain't about that life, though.
Oh, okay. For some reason, when he said the blade in their conversation, I was like, why would Hiei give his actual katana because I was like, why Yusuke doesn't need that shit unless he would give it to Kurabara, which I thought would have also been pretty cool, but that makes so much more sense. I literally Kurama's had a note written down.
He's just trying to help Yusuke out and get the final artifact.
That makes sense.
So Kurama, he can, like, complete the mission.
Kurama, good guy. Love him.
He's a rider. It seems he's officially a rider. And we'll get a little more of him, because we'll talk about it right here. So the post-training act. So this is kind of two big things happen. First one's going to be Genkai is in the dojo. She's contemplating about the past. We know, you know, it's raining. It's at night. She's thinking about the past. We know what's going to happen. Who else slides through that door? Then Togoro, younger Togoro, this is. They have a little, like, very familiar conversation. So they obviously know each other. They've been in the past, et cetera, et cetera. They're upset at how each other turned out, which I think was just interesting. And then we kind of find out, technically at the end of the episode, that he put her through the wall into the rock wall behind the wall.
Do you think she's dead?
I don't know if she's dead.
Yeah. It looked like
he's out for the count.
Yeah.
I like how they used the lightning to, like, flash his face when he first entered the dojo, and also to flash her body stuck outside of the building, or into the, it was like the rock or whatever she was stuck in, right? Like in the side of the hill.
Whatever, it was cool.
I wish we saw their clash because he definitely flexed.
It would have been sick to
when
watch.
When he fought that demon in the beginning, when Sakio was using him when Sakio put Helen. Him on display.
That was the name of the four-legged beast at hell. I just saw it on the screen the second time I watched it. I'm like, oh my God, they actually gave it a name.
Is it double L, Helen?
It's actually single O.
I have an aunt named Helen. Anyway.
Are you comparing? No, I'm just kidding.
No, he said, 30%. So he only used 30% of his power, I guess. I would like to know how much he used against Genkai. Does the spirit wave orb give you powers, or is it like an object? Because is she less powerful because she doesn't have it anymore?
I guess we don't know yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Togoro
is aware of the orb. He knows now that Yusuke has it, which he seemed to be a little disappointed about. So I think they're setting it up. We're going to talk more about it.
The reason why I ask is because if Togoro has known for fucking years that she's had it, why has he just going after it now? You know what I mean? And maybe it's because she is, like, really powerful with it, and he knows he can't. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm just grasping at straw. I feel like
I think that's definitely a concept that they introduced that they maybe haven't totally explained or answered. I think you're thinking about it the right way. Like, you're taking the information that they're giving you in different parts and piecing it together.
Yeah, like maybe he hasn't gone after it because he was felt threatened, and now he knows there's an opportunity, and that's why he's jumping on it, kind of thing. Maybe. You know what I mean? I don't know what it does, this thing, yet. I'm assuming next episode they're going to dive all into it, because that's what they've been doing. They leave you with questions, and then they've been using like the first half of every episode kind of to answer what was left unturned the previous episode, and then they introduce new things. Episodes so far, three through three. It's exciting.
Yeah, wow, we're over halfway done. That's actually insane.
Yeah,
that is wild.
That's crazy. But all right, we kind of have one last thing to talk about. It's a jumble of scenes, but it's kind of, they all have the same central theme here. So Yusuke is actually finally getting his ramen noodle meal at Kiko's shop, and disaster strikes as Hiei apparently kidnaps her, which leads to a chase scene, a confrontation scene, and then a fight scene. So Yusuke gets a little bit of revenge physically on Hiei here, but then our boy Kurama kind of steps in and makes him see reason. Short fight, but the choreography is just amazing to watch.
Yeah. Hiei is very smooth with the blade. I think
that backflip off the wall was sick too.
Yeah. It's so hard to just keep saying the same thing over and over again, but the fights are just amazing. I love watching all of them. Definitely,
there's such fun little details too. Like this time when Hiei like hits him with it's still sheathed, and instead of like Yusuke grabs his arm, Hiei's gonna back up, so like he stops him, and Hiei like is like, oh shit, like he actually grabbed me and like is keeping me close type of deal. Like he now can use the spirit energy to like coat his fist and punch the wall, which he breaks. So like Hiei is noticing that he's grown stronger in this time, which is just good to see, obviously.
Oh yeah, love it.
Hits him with a headbutt too, which felt very Monkey D. Luffy-esque.
Just all the MCs from back in the day, just big headbutters. I know Goku was a big headbutter against Kid Buu.
Love it.
Just always good stuff. Always how it is.
Yeah, so Kurama basically stops this fight by making them see reason. He's like, hey, it was not him who stole your sister. It wasn't him who stole Kiko? I know I did it twice there.
I always call her Keiko. Like that.
I keep meaning to hear it in the episode so I can bring it to the podcast, and I just keep forgetting.
They say it, they speak so fast. It's so hard to pick it up. Tough.
Yeah, because it's never just like in the first or...
No, it's just like Keiko or whatever.
It's in the middle of their sentence, usually.
But Kurama has found out where Hiei's sister is, which happens to be where Kiko is being taken. And we learn here that it was actually the elder Togoro who kidnapped her and was using Hiei's look as a disguise. So, I mean, we saw when we were first introduced to him, he's just kind of extending his finger. And now he's like creating an entire personal disguise, which is an interesting step up for his power here. Kuwabara shows up, which he's always welcome in any group that I'm in. I like how him and Hiei had like a very quick moment of like, fuck you type of deal. He's just like immediately confrontational, which makes me laugh. And then they kind of get met on the dock as they're kind of heading out by one of Mullet Man's henchmen who's been expecting them. So they want them to come to the island. And obviously, it's not just going to be for a conversation.
Mm-mm. I thought the reveal, like when she slaps Hiei's sister, and the reveal is the brother of Togoro. I just can't remember their names. But I was just thinking of Gaara from Naruto when Rock Lee like kind of kicks his face and like it's the wicked smile underneath a little bit. I was a little bit shocked because I genuinely just thought it was Hiei that took her to kind of just like get an opponent set or a match set with, you know, Yusuke. But it was a nice little twist.
I thought
it was cool and scary. It was terrifying, to be honest. It was really scary seeing his face like inside of Hiei's face or whatever's face.
Yeah, she didn't like it either.
He's got a good power.
Yeah, and he can again, just to me, the test of strength is always like how well can you handle guns, and obviously he tanks like four or five of them. So
all to the head.
Yeah, so obviously this guy's gotta be pretty fucking strong too.
Yeah.
I wonder if now I'm thinking about it, I wonder if Kurobara is going to take on the younger brother while Yusuke fights Togoro.
Yeah. Well, we at this point now we have a squad of four on the island, and now we have a squad of four of our own heading to the island.
Yeah, because they have the three bodyguards, the Togoro twins, I guess. So that would be, you can count that as four maybe. And then there's four that walk up. So I'm excited, man. I'm definitely excited.
we'll see what happens. Maybe two more episodes. Again, I just thought another good episode makes me instantly want to watch the next one. Like Alki said, they're introducing concepts to us that are interesting. They're giving us questions that we want to think about and know more about. And as always, like we said 18 million times, the fighting choreography is just enthralling. So it's checking all the boxes. It's literally checking all the boxes.
Yeah, still haven't been disappointed, honestly, with the show. The live action, to me, still is one of the better live actions that I've ever seen in my life. And not that to say that there's many of them besides the One Piece. I still have been really loving every second of this show, to be honest.
It's also, I mean, to be fair, it lends itself very well to live action adaptation. They're kind of just people, the demons have right. Yeah, human disguises. Like, yeah,
they're not still, old, crazy. It's old yeah. school manga anime, so they're not like super
worldly strong. Yeah. You know?
It's cool though. It's and they're doing it well. Obviously the story's truncated, but it's still flowing for me very well.
I have a question, Kyle, and I don't know if you're gonna want to answer this. Is it looking like full completion of all source material in these five episodes, or is it like
no.
a two? Oh,
no.
Okay.
Yeah,
so there will potentially
there is
going to
be
like a
second
two.
Season.
I would assume so, yeah.
Okay, because I was about to think like five episodes to conclude. Because I'm not sure how long, I haven't even looked up how many chapters it is, but just by like I read Rurouni Kenshin before. I know Inuyasha is not like a super long story. I'm assuming Yu Yu Hakusho kind of falls into that like 200 chapter range, maybe less. I don't know. So where I'm going with this is like, I wonder how much they're squeezing in. Like, is this the main story kind of thing? You know, is this the main plot? But I'm happy to hear that it's not. So
now this is like there's 175 chapters. This is like we'll probably get through maybe 80.
Okay, so
it is hard to say though. But this is kind of like maybe it feels like they're kind of putting together like the first two like big arcs. Kind of into one, and then there's definitely still more to come after I think we conclude all of like the mysteries that we're aware of so far.
Okay,
two seasons seems like I feel like that's just prime because obviously when they came out and they were like, oh, we only have five episodes, it's like
it sounds weird.
Yeah, it's just such a weird number. Yeah, because if they, I'm sure they could have maybe even fit the whole story in one season of like 8 or 10 episodes if they really wanted to. But I guess looking on it now, I'm kind of grateful it's turning out well, and if they want to take their time with it, you know, I've as much as I've been loving it, I'm not like a diehard, so it's not like, oh, you know, get this out as soon as possible. It's like I've been enjoying the watch. Something new.
Yeah, five's just crazy. I don't think I've ever in my life seen a show that's five episodes. Yeah, like six is the least
minimum
I've ever seen.
Yeah, like Peaky Blinders was six, right?
Yeah, at least. Yeah,
yeah, I want to say Game of Thrones was six, that final. Like Blackbird I watched recently, fantastic show.
I watched that, Kyle. It was solid.
Yeah, six episodes, so yeah. Oh well, I mean, hey, we got two more episodes left. Seems like they're really prepping us for a lot of good fights, which we've been loving, obviously. So looking forward to all of that. So stick around with us. We're going to be covering the last two episodes. Not exactly sure when we'll be able to, due to, you know, holiday travels, people are busy and all that kind of stuff, but we're going to do it as soon as we possibly can. So just sit tight. Episode four coverage will be out as soon as we can possibly do it. The best way to support us is going to be, besides listening, is going to be to like, subscribe on whatever you're listening or watching on. Also, maybe holiday season. I'm not sure if we can get this out before Christmas, but maybe, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Throw a little elbow to your cousin or your aunt, your uncle. Say, hey, Bingetown TV. Good place to listen to good content about TV shows, and we would very much appreciate that. If you want to learn more about Bingetown TV, bingetowntv.com, the home of everything Bingetown. It's a great way also to look at our catalog of TV shows we've covered. It's over 100 at this point. Nice little alphabetical list of all of them. And there's some bangers in there. There's some good TV shows, and there's some really good podcast coverage. So if you like what you heard from the three of us, there's also, I mean, there's five more hosts on Bingetown, so you get a little variety as well. So just be sure to keep hanging around. All right. We are Bingetown TV, and thank you for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.